If we mention it, we mention it. Yeah. And if we don't, we don't.
Yeah, it's actually fine.
It's fine.
I'm overthinking it. I'm sorry.
Wouldn't have you any
other
way.
Don't want to get this wrong.
Welcome to Cursed Objects, a podcast about cultural history, politics, and tat. Sort of like a cursed show and tell where every week we bring in something new and horrendous to ruin your day.
Not always newly horrendous, but it will be new and it will be horrendous.
I'm Dr. Kasia T, historian, podcaster, and person.
And I'm Dan Hancock, journalist and author, and I'm really excited about this episode, actually.
I am too.
Based on an exhibition that we went to together.
Yes, we
Very recently, after which we had some magnificent Chinese food, but that's not going to be talked about today. But can I just say the Bang Bang Noodle outlet, sort of Xi'an Bang Bang Noodle outlet near the Somerset House cute exhibition.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Stunning.
Cheaper than the Somerset House cute exhibition. Though we should probably hashtag spawn this episode, right?
Yeah.
Because we blagged free tickets.
Yeah, we should hashtag spawn, hashtag con.
But this isn't going to compromise our criticality, is it, Kat?
I don't know. Speak for yourself.
This exhibition is an unabashed success, and you should all go and see it immediately. It's an important test of our journalistic ethics, actually.
Yes,
this.
Yeah,
it's
our
first freebie. I mean, to be fair, we weren't asked for it. We weren't asked if we wanted freebies. I am just a cheapskate who, after many years as a freelance journalist, knows that you can blag these things.
Well, if you don't ask, you don't get.
Exactly.
And it was £18.50 that we saved.
It was.
Which is, I think it's hard. It's quite a lot for an exhibition. At the same time, I mean, this is going to inform some of the conversations we have. I thought the content was really good, but I thought that it had the feel of a kind of welcome collection, like exhibition. So, you know, like the milk exhibition or something like that. It was like really thoughtful and thought-provoking in lots of different ways. But then welcome collection exhibitions are free, and this was £18.50.
I mean, the funding is a whole other episode, potentially. We should say that if you do want to go see it, it's open till the 14th of April. So you have time if you are in London or proximate to London. If you're not, then you can just enjoy our excellent analysis of the phenomenon. I mean, I do think, before we get into the nitty-gritty of what was in the exhibition, and indeed the the very sexy subject of museum funding and how sustainable stuff like this is.
I'm salivating.
So are our listeners. That's why we have so many Patreons. People care about museum funding. No, I mean, it is interesting that the welcome collection's free and stuff. But yeah, before we get into all that sort of stuff, I want to just make a top line observation. This is a great idea for an exhibition.
Yeah.
I think this is actually a really interesting subject, which is why we are devoting an episode to it. You know, the word cute, the concept of cuteness is one that I think we've probably both been familiar with our entire lives, but it's a really recent phenomenon, and there's a really interesting change in the language that I, as an adult man, I use the word cute all the time now about things that I never would have done before.
Yeah.
And actually, I don't think the things that aren't a fluffy little bunny or whatever, do you know what I mean? Like, it's become part of, like, internet parlance or internet-enabled parlance. I use it in the real world.
Yeah. You'll be like to me, like, I went to the pub last night, and I'll be like, cute?
Yes, exactly. No, perfect example. And I think that's an Americanism. And this is certainly my mum's thesis. Mm. I do sometimes consult the older generation because it's useful to have a bit of perspective on this stuff. And my mum said to me, as I suspected, that when she was growing up, like, it just wasn't a word that was used. I was like, would you maybe use it just to describe a baby or a kitten? But you wouldn't say, oh, you went to see the Beatles. How cute.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she said, yeah, that's right. It was really considered an American term. We didn't use it that much. Even if we were referring to a kitten or a baby, we'd probably say it was sweet.
Mm.
We wouldn't use it to describe like a bunch of flowers or anything like that. That makes sense because you're familiar with the phrase meet cute.
Yes, I am.
And I am too. And that's a very, very bit of American bit of English.
Yeah. To kind of denote the idea of like meeting someone and then falling in love with them, but in a spontaneous way, like you meet someone at like the supermarket.
It's a rom-com.
Yeah.
It's a rom-com meeting, basically, first meeting in a romantic relationship. And that, I think, the use of cute in that context points to that wider usage of the word to just describe something that is nice, essentially. Like when you say, oh, you went to the pub with this person that I liked last night, how cute. Like that's sort of what you mean. It's not that we're all wearing pink bows in our hair.
Can I just say, sorry, just to go back to the Beatles, that Paul McCartney always hated that he was the cute one.
No way, is that right?
Why do I know that?
I don't know, that's extraordinary. I didn't have you down as a Beatle maniac.
That'll explain the bowl cut that I got.
Yeah. It's funny, I was thinking about the Beatles with relation to this exhibition this morning, actually, because I mean, we'll get into the world of PC Music and Hannah Diamond. They feature in the exhibition, which is, I guess, a cute sort of form of music or music that involves a lot of cute tropes. But I was thinking about those sort of love songs and whether they were sincere. A lot of the stuff I've been thinking about cuteness is like, is it the opposite of earnestness and seriousness in a way? And for some reason, I was like, oh, what about the, you know, classic love songs like early Beatles stuff before they got into drugs and got weird, when they were doing songs like Love Me Do, love me do, you know I love you. I don't know where I'm going with this. I love things I love, like very cheap plasticky pop music, and I think that's the kind that it gets denoted as cute.
Yes.
Not to drag us kicking
and screaming back to the exhibition.
Sorry! After a little Beatles kind of digression.
But I just think the point that you were making about cute being really, really popular and it being a very smart and canny decision to make an exhibition on the theme of cute is, you know, it's a testament to the exhibition that we went there on the day and we were with a friend who couldn't get in because there weren't any tickets available until 5 p.m. that day.
Mm. And it was, I think, really interesting. And this, again, comes back to the sort of the world of museums at large, which I'm sorry, but we are interested in. And we know a lot of you guys are too. But really interesting, the demographics in there.
Mm.
So loads of kids, but not 7-year-olds, like 12-year-olds.
Yeah.
So a lot of 12-year-old girls with their parents.
Yeah.
Who seem to be loving it.
Yeah.
And actually that was I'm trying to find a word other than cute to describe
it. Yeah, it was nice to see. They were having a nice time.
It was lovely to see what an exhibition space that I've been to numerous times before, like the Horrors exhibition at Somerset House I went to, thought that was very disjointed and disappointing, and a lot of the stuff didn't hang together that well. It was just a collection of objects without a good narrative to it. I also went to the 24/7 exhibition there that was, again, very serious, thoughtful and good. I really like that one. I wrote about that in the New Statesman, if anyone's interested, about our 24/7 culture. It's a space I associate with sort of, you know, serious-minded art people and adults. And it was really nice to see it disrupted by, like, children running around, like, going, oh, my God, look at that! You know, like, that was actually really lovely.
Well, I mean, they say similar in their own writing in the exhibition about the power of cute. But before we get into the actual, some of the things, I thought we might think about some of the objects that are in the exhibition. Specifically, there was a really large section dedicated to Hello Kitty. Who else?
Yeah.
And I didn't know this about Hello Kitty. Apparently Hello Kitty, and this is according to the Sanrio Hello Kitty website, Sanrio is who produces Hello Kitty.
Mm-hmm.
Hello Kitty was born in the suburbs of London.
What?
She lives with her parents and her twin sister, Mimi. who is her best friend. Her hobbies include baking cookies and making new friends. As she always says, you can never have too many friends, exclamation mark.
I customers.
Yeah. And it was just fascinating to me that there was this like large dedicated space to Hello Kitty things. I remember being bought a Hello Kitty pencil by my cousin, Cassandra, when I was like 5 years old. It's the first present I remember receiving, and I loved it. I loved it so much, and it was a pencil. I had this like emotional attachment to this Hello Kitty pencil. I loved it so much. But from the exhibition, there was like all of this weird and wonderful stuff connected with the Hello Kitty. I'm talking Hello Kitty spam, Hello Kitty themed spam, Hello Kitty themed duct tape, case you want to abduct someone but make it cute. Yeah. Hello Kitty Heinz spaghetti hoops. Because I remember buying some of this as a kid, Hello Kitty spaghetti hoops, and the spaghetti hoops are like in the shape of Hello Kitty, and me just thinking that was so morally wrong.
Did you really?
Yeah. So it wasn't working for me. I didn't buy the pasta and go, oh, actually, yeah, it's good. I was like, this is weird. Why is Hello Kitty in tomato sauce?
She's drowning.
She's drowning in tomato sauce.
Over and over again. And now I'm going to eat her.
Various drinks and of different flavours. Oh, something that wasn't a drink. Hello Kitty motor oil.
That's what we've sort of chosen. It could have been one of a million things as our curse object this week.
Hi everyone, it's Kasia here. Thank you so much for listening to this little clip of one of our episodes. The full episode is on our Patreon, which for as little as £4 a month, you can support. It just helps Dan and I keep going and allows us to go to more exhibitions, especially ones that we can't blag our way into. Thanks so much for listening. If you are a fan but you can't afford the Patreon, we'll still do the free episodes. And it would just really, really help if you could just tell friends, tell whoever that we exist and that we're making podcasts, because it just helps us to keep going. Thanks so much. Bye.